I ask Brother Arthur now then to step forward and deliver to us the word of exhortation. Brother Arthur, please.
My beloved brothers and sisters in Israel's glorious hope, our readings from the book of Genesis this morning follow on from the time when Abram, that man of wonderful great faith, met with Melchizedek after the victory of faith over the northern confederacy led by Chedorlaomer. When they came down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived, and the cities of the plain, a type of the latter days when Christ, with the saints, shall be victorious over the latter-day king of the north, Gog and his confederates. The unsettled state of the region was now, no doubt, a reason for concern for Abram, especially as he had spurned the rewards offered to him by the king of Sodom. But Yahweh, whose eyes are always over the just, speaks wonderful words of comfort to him. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Let us for a moment this morning, brothers and sisters, consider these words that Yahweh spake to Abram, what they would mean to him and to all those of the faith of Abram. A shield is that which is used in battle for protection, a defense. The word used here is megan, which signifies a small shield or buckler derived from the root megan, to hedge about, to protect. So the message from Yahweh was clear. Fear not, Abram. I am thy protector, and I will be thy reward. Can a man have anything more comforting than that in his life? Anything more positive than that? The Apostle Paul, in speaking of the armor of those in Christ, speaks of the shield of faith. And in our readings, from the middle portion of our daily readings today, from Psalm 18, David speaks of that buckler, of that shield of Yahweh. Turn with me to Psalm 18 and verse 1. I will love thee, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my ail, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon Yahweh and cried unto my Elohim. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Verse 30, David said, as for Eil, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is Eloah save Yahweh? Or who is a rock save our Elohim? It is Eil that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. These words, brethren and sisters, that we read in our first reading of Genesis, that Yahweh said to Abram, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward," was a great comfort to Abraham, living as a sojourner in the land. To know that Yahweh was watching over him. But as we have seen in the sentiments of David in that 18th Psalm, Yahweh is a shield and a defender to all those of the faith and trust of Abraham. And Brother Robert, in his prayer this morning, spoke of the examples of those in Scripture, faithful men, who we would look at this morning in our exhortation. We have in the Word of God that we read the history of faithful men. We have in our Word, the Bible, the Word of Yahweh, we have there the evidence that what Yahweh has said, he is able to perform. The Apostle Paul writes, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Diligently seek him. Regarding that exceeding great reward, Abram said unto Yahweh, "What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Abram was 85 years of age and said, "Behold, thou hast given me no seed, and no one born in my house is mine heir." He recognized that the promises were dependent upon an heir. And it was the custom in the East in those days that a childless couple would make a faithful servant heir of all they possessed. But Yahweh told him, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels." Abram was then commanded to go outside and to look up at the heavens and to tell the stars if he was able to number them, and was told, "So shall thy seed be." So shall thy seed be. The Apostle Paul, speaking of these things, says they are evidence of Abram's great faith. Against all hope, he believed in hope. He believed in all his heart, and his faith in Yahweh was counted unto him for righteousness. The stars which Abram saw were gleaming lights in the darkness of the heavens. And the Apostle Paul, speaking of these things, said that it spoke of the blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom they shine as lights in the world. That faithful seed of Abraham, whom Daniel was told would turn many to righteousness, and who would shine as stars in the political firmament of the future age. In the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, he gives a catalogue of those stars of light, which were indeed, as we read it, they were indeed blameless, men and harmless, sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked world of which each generation live, and who did shine as lights. They were faithful, seeds of Abraham, in the days of their generation. Each one was harmless, blameless in the world, without rebuke. Let us consider some of these faithful characters. We think of the young man, Joseph. He believed the dream that he had of Yahweh, that his family would indeed bow down before him. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though sold by his jealous brethren and made a slave in the land of Egypt, he never lost his faith in Yahweh. He never lost his faith in Yahweh. And he was always blameless, harmless in that which he did in his life, that no one could accuse him. He was made a slave in the land of Egypt, and because of his wonderful character and the blessing of God upon him, and because he never lost his faith in Yahweh, that Yahweh would defend him, protect him, though he went through many sore trials, he was raised up second in command to Pharaoh in the greatest nation of the time. But he suffered in his trials. And Brother Roberts in Seasons of Comfort says, he quotes the psalmist who says, Yahweh Elohim is a sun and shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But, says Brother Roberts, let us judge wisely in this matter. Let us judge wisely in this matter, he says. A father who defends his child continually from mortal calamity may himself inflict upon him pain by the rod, or assign him for his good a part to fulfill which will be irksome or even painful for the child. But he said, the child would judge wrongly if he were to say his father did not act a beneficent part because he subjected him to chastisement and hard tasks. So we must not say, says Brother Roberts, that because God is a sun and a shield to those who walk uprightly, nothing but prosperity will be their lot. True blessings may require them to be put through sharp adversity. A man flourishing in this life to the loss of eternal life, or the exceeding great reward of the faithful, is not blessed. He is not blessed. He has lost the prize of life. How true this is, brethren and sisters. How true it is. The Apostle Paul told the faithful, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. But we must keep our faith. Abraham and the faithful, Paul speaks of in that 11th chapter of the Hebrews, were each one aware of this fact, that without tribulation, they would not enter into the kingdom of God. From a slave, a prisoner, through much heartache, Joseph trusted in Yahweh and became second to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, a position that enabled him to save his father's house from famine and certain death. And when his family, as he told them that they would, bowed down before him, though having good reason to be wroth with them, having good reason to be wroth with them for what they had done to him, God, he said unto his brethren, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say to him, thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. All through his life, brothers and sisters, and we can read it in Genesis, each one, can we not? All through his life, with all its problems, being put into a pit wherein there was no water, sold into Egypt, Joseph never lost sight of the fact that Yahweh was his shield and defender, saving him from death. And when he was about to go the way of all the earth, he called his brethren unto him and said, I die, and God will surely visit you. He had never forgot those promises, brothers and sisters. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land and to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he shall carry my bones up from thence. He knew, brethren and sisters, in faith he knew that that day would dawn when they would enter into the promised land as Yahweh had promised. In all his adversity he kept his faith, where those of the faithful at the time they left lacked faith and indeed failed to enter into that promised land, and their children went in. But Joseph kept his faith. Why carry his bones with them when they would leave Egypt? Yahweh had been his shield and defender and had blessed him all his life. And now, as he neared the time when he would go the way of all the earth, he looked to that day. He looked to that day of the exceeding great reward of the faithful, those that put their trust in Yahweh. He wished to be in the promised land when that Redeemer, whom he knew would come back to the earth and raise him to stand before him. He looked to that city whose builder and maker is God, to dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Just as David, who knew Yahweh as a shield and defender, as we read in Psalm 18. David wrote those beautiful words, did he not? Yahweh is my shepherd. A shepherd is one who protects, defends his sheep from wild animals and evil men. David said, Yahweh is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. The thought of that protecting of Yahweh, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Those things that the shepherd used to shield the sheep from harm. Thou preparest a table before me, he says, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Yes, says David, at the close of his life, when he also goes the way of all the earth, he said, Yahweh has been my field, my defender and provider all my life. He has blessed me. And he closes his prayer with his heart fixed upon the exceeding great reward which he waited for, which was all his salvation and all his desire, that he would dwell with the faithful in the house of Yahweh forever. David realized, brethren and sisters, as Brother Roberts said, a man flourishing in this life to the loss of eternal life is not blessed. He's not blessed at all. His only hope is the dust of the ground. But as the faithful man has a hope of life eternal, to live and reign with Yahweh upon the earth. The scriptures record other faithful men, seed of Abraham, men who we think of as indeed harmless and indeed full of faith. We think of the beloved of Yahweh, Daniel, and his three friends, although uprooted from family and friends and taken captive into a strange land, going through many sore trials, yet never lost their faith and their trust in God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow and to worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were told that they would be cast into the fiery furnace, they answered the king, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if they died in that fiery furnace, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." When going through the book of Daniel a few years back, perhaps we remember Brother Philip, he gave the rendering of these verses from the Jerusalem Bible, which says in answer to Nebuchadnezzar, "Your question hardly requires an answer." What faith, brothers and sisters. Your question hardly requires an answer. If our God, the one we serve, is able, if our God, the one we serve, is able to save us from the fiery furnace and from your power, O king, and if not, then know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship your statue, which you have erected. With each brother and sisters mindful of the exceeding and precious reward of the faithful, and God saved them out of the furnace, so that not even the smell of the smoke were on their clothes, because they trusted in him that he would save them, and they looked for that exceeding great reward. Look at the effect it had upon the king and the sisters. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's world and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dungling, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The result of their faith, brothers and sisters, brought that king to his senses, that he realized that there is no God but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. At the close of his life, Daniel, now 90 odd years of age, and having been blessed of Yahweh, though through many trials, is told, "Go thy way, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Daniel was to rest in the ground until that day dawn. That day when that exceeding great and precious promise of the faithful shall be realized upon the earth. Brethren, what faith these men had. Just as Job, who said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." How feeble we feel our own faith can be. In that 11th chapter of the Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the catalogue of the faithful, he says of them, "Of whom the world was not worthy." The world was not worthy and is not worthy of such men and women who were blameless, harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. They were the salt of the earth, friends and sisters, and having obtained a good report through faith, died not having received the promise, God having provided some better thing for you and I, that they, without you and I, should not be made perfect. They have completed their days, brothers and sisters, of their probation. They have gone through sore trials, and they have held fast to their faith. And they sleep in the dust of the earth, waiting the time when they might receive that great, an exceeding great reward. Their lives, brothers and sisters, were not through beds of roses. They all realize that with much tribulation they shall enter the kingdom of God. These things that we have considered this morning, brothers and sisters, have been kept on record. They have been kept on record, not that we might have a knowledge of history, though history has its place, but that you and I might be strengthened by the faith of others who have the hope that you and I have got, and who walked in that faith of their father Abraham. Above all, brothers and sisters, we remember him this morning. The seed of Abraham, our Lord and Master, who gave his life that we might have life and have it in abundance. Who said to those that believed his word, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Brother Robert said, "It is a part of the Father's program that the trial of our faith might yield joyous results in the day of glory." if it be found unto praise and honour at the appearing of Christ, we shall not have suffered in vain. This will be, brothers and sisters, as Brother Robert says, this will be, if we have come through trial proof. Peter mentions gold in the furnace as an illustration. Our faith must not disappear in the process of trial. The gold may dissolve, but it is gold for all that, and it is visible, says Brother Roberts. Let us see to it that our faith fail not in the heaviness that comes with manifold temptations. There is great joy at last, says Brother Roberts, if we overcome. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Brother Roberts once again says, is a place in that illustrious body not worth the trial? Is a place in that illustrious body of the faithful, found faithful when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, not worth a trial? What infatuated creatures those men and women must be who have put their hands to the plough, look back and allow their hearts to be taken and their hands weakened by the ephemeral interests of this life, which at best, supposing we could do all that we wished, are vanity, ending ultimately in the grave. How perfectly suicidal for those who have such a glorious destiny before them to slacken their hands and become lukewarm in relation to the duties they owe to their Lord and Master. Let us beware, says Brother Roberts. Let us beware. The bright side is pleasant to contemplate, but we must accept the dark side in the present duty and reproach. We must, says Brother Roberts, carry the cross if we mean to wear the crown. Let's turn to close to the words of that beloved ecclesia, Philadelphia, in the Apocalypse chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the ecclesia in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and no man openeth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Our works are known, brethren and sisters, as was those of Daniel and his friends, Joseph and so forth. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue which are, say they are Jews, and are not, but to lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the ecclesias. May we, brethren and sisters, heed the words that we make hold fast to our faith, that when our beloved Master returns, that he might give us a part and a place in that wonderful age to come, when we shall, if it be his will, give unto him the praise, the glory, the honour that is his due in that wonderful age.